Hi, Mayor.
Good morning, Joe.
It is the coldest time of the year, but so far not the snowiest.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Yeah, we can handle an inch and a half on a Saturday.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird storm. You ended up using more salt than I would have liked to, but it was one of those types. You had that burst late in the afternoon that caused another round of salt. But it is what it is.
Yeah. As I always say, no matter how much it is, it's the same amount of work to clean
it
up.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Can we start this morning, Mayor, with a discussion about the, I know, one of your favorite topics, the proposed Long Island Bridge project.
Sure. What do you want to talk about? I'm opposed, just so you know.
Yeah, well, yes. Figured that. Reading in the news about the state DEP approving the Chapter 91 permit that Boston received back in 2023. Your reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, as I said from day one, Joe, I'm going to use every legal, environmental, rule, regulation obstacle I can to keep them from building the bridge. So this is a victory in a battle, but it's not a victory in the war. And my team is putting together a suit in Superior Court to appeal this.
So, obviously, that raises the question of how much is this costing the city to fight this project?
I don't know off the top of my head, but every nickel is worth it. I mean, when you look at what this impact will have on North Quincy Atlantic and Squantum, it's worth every penny.
Is the larger concern about the potential for future development on Long Island as well?
It's a combination. One is they've never really articulated what the program was going to be on Long Island. So, you know, were they going to be a bus people out there? Were people going to be able to drive back and forth? Were they going to be able to visitors? What kind of traffic would it generate? Plus, what the additional acreage on the island? Yeah, once you build the bridge, what other development would go on out there, adding to the traffic woes? And as you know, it's a narrow path getting there. Once you leave the causeway and that hairpin turn up by the Nickerson Post and to Moon Island Causeway, it's not an easy run. So, again, we're going to do everything we can to keep them from building it. And the reality of it now is, you know, we see the mayor of Boston on the news regularly about finances in Boston, looking for more taxes. And this would be a private bridge, so Boston has to foot the bill for the entire bridge. And the estimates now are towards $300 million for the bridge, never mind the cost of the building. So in reality, I don't see how they can come up with any money to build it anyway. But we're going to make it difficult for them.
So what will the city's argument be now in at Supreme Court?
That's what the lawyers are preparing now. Of course, this is another step. I mean, there's still Coast Guard. There's still, building permit requests and et cetera, et cetera. So there's still a number of steps. Even if we don't succeed at Superior Court on this one step.
Is the city attorney handling this, or are you bringing an outside firm?
No, we have an outside firm that has assisted us along the way. So, yep, they'll be assisting us in this piece.
Do you think, in the meantime, that a ferry service could substitute plans to rebuild the bridge?
We've been saying that from day one, Joe. I don't understand the hesitation. I mean, they bring kids out there all summer long to the summer day camp that Tom Menino built out there with the help of Jack Connors, and they can ferry them every day. I don't know what the issue is. I mean, in this day and age, ferries are a very dependent water transportation for cities that are on the harbors all across the world. And you get ferries that run from Hingham every day to Boston, run by the MBTA for commuters. I mean, I don't understand the hesitation there. As long as they're going to pursue the bridge, I'm going to continue to fight the bridge. I wish they would look at ferries. The other reality here, Joe, is the buildings out there have been sitting now for years. When they were in operation, they were in terrible shape. The Globe did a story, it was last year, about what would the cost be to upgrade those buildings plus the cost of the bridge. You're between $500 and $750 million. That, to me, it seems absurd. So you can't tell me 46 square miles in mainland Boston, you can't find a location to provide these services. It just doesn't make sense to me at all. And, of course, now the county's available. Why not the county, Mayor Wu?
Have you met with the Mayor Wu about this in recent times?
Not recently, no. No. Okay.
Do you have a timeline in mind for when the appeal will be filed, Mayor?
I'm sure there's a timeline set by the law, So we'll meet whatever timeline that is.
Okay. Also, Mayor, since last we talked, ruling coming down about the former Elder Services Director, Tom Clasby, indicted now for theft of something like $120,000 worth of city funds. And your reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, this has been going on, as you know, since May. And at the time, I put him on administrative leave, and then within a few weeks, based on the evidence we were seeing, I had to fire him. It's deeply disturbing. I can't express the disappointment I have because I've known Tom for a long time. But you know, I was going to say the good thing. There's nothing good out of this, but when the feds came in and took the whole investigation, if you will, away from the Quincy Police Department. I shouldn't say away in a negative sense, but they stepped in, their corruption division, and wanted to be part of it, and so they took the investigation over. What made me feel good was that everything we did from the moment it was reported, we did appropriately, properly. The day it came down with the information that a whistleblower brought forth, immediately had the police chief take over the investigation, immediately had the solicitor write a letter on my behalf, putting him on leave, taking away his keys, his access to the building, etc. So we did everything we should do, and the feds confirmed that. So I felt good about that, in a sense. The temptation is, oh, boy, Tom's been around a long time. What can we do to help him? And, he made choices, and now he's going to deal with the consequences of those choices.
Two questions, I guess. First, what has been done to make sure it doesn't happen again? And then second, how was it able to go on for so long?
Well, those are two good questions. One is, anytime you have humans involved in things, there's always ways to get around things. We're a big city. We're a $500 million operation. So when you're dealing with purchase orders, for example, you put a purchase order through for a snowblower, but a purchase order for kitchen stuff will end, evidently, allegedly, those things ended up going home. Mm. But on the face of those purchase orders going through purchasing, those aren't of the ordinary for running a senior center to have those kind of things at the senior center. Mm-hmm. So he was conniving and devious, and thankfully, eventually he was caught. And we did, in addition to having the police take the investigation over, we called in our outside audit, and in addition to the regular audit, we had a forensic audit done of everything down there. So, and we went beyond what the norm is. Normally, anything over 1,000, we went down to 500 in that audit. And, he connived the system. He worked the system. He knew what he was doing. He played it very, very well, and he got caught. So at the end of the day, justice does prevail. And we've looked at this. We've had the auditors looking at things across the city. City Treasurer Molly Smith and, of course, the Municipal Finance Director Eric Mason have already made changes. The auditors have agreed with the changes. For example, Joe, mm-hmm. A lot of departments collect cash. So, and now the rule is you can't accumulate any more than a certain amount, and you have to have those sheets to go with it each day. It's got to be balanced every day. I want to say the number is 500. You can't accumulate more than that in any of the offices around the city. Hopefully taking temptation away, but also making sure the books are perfectly clean and everything is identified. So that's just one of the things, I mean, there's certain things when you lie and fake something, it's not necessarily system can catch everything. And that's why I say, as long as there's humans around. Hey, we got about 3,000 city employees, so unfortunately, one bad apple here.
Mm. Any chance the city can recoup some of that money?
That'll be part of the federal government's program as far as restitution.
Yeah.
That's part of what they're doing. As I understand it, the investigation continues in the sense of now all of the information is turned over to the to Mr. Clasby, his lawyer. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming under the law they'll have an opportunity to plea bargain or pursue a trial. Based on what I've seen, I think Mr. Clasby has some real challenges.
Mm-hmm. If convicted, does this negate his city pension?
I'm not a lawyer, but mm-hmm. I would believe so, yes.
Yeah. How about a bit of good news, Mayor?
Yeah, let's do that.
City winning a $10.2 million federal grant to make some pretty major improvements along a stretch of the Southern Artery.
Yes, the timing is actually perfect on this, Joe, because with the new police station, public safety headquarters, so we're going to widen that part of Southern Artery. That intersection is really antiquated at C, Coddington, and Southern Artery. McGrath and Southern Artery, it's going to be re-updated as well, connecting those two intersections. They talk to each other technology-wise. And then, of course, you know, down, I think we get down as far as Pond Street and rebuilding. The Southern Artery carries, as you know, it probably carries the most traffic in the city. That stretch is, I think it's well over 40,000 cars a day. And it takes a beating over time. So this will allow us to rebuild it according to the guidelines. It's a safe street, so you try to accommodate bicyclists. And but I'm not taking lanes away for bikes or buses. It'll be a combination of those things. But this is huge. And it's a $13 million project, a little over 10 from the federal government, some match from the state, and some match from the city. I'll take that any day if we have to match. So it's a huge help, and I'm grateful to our federal delegation, Congressman Lynch, and Senators Markey and Warren for their help and championing it at the federal level. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, and as I understand, National Grid will be repaving from Furnace Brook up to C Street after they're done.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you get that whole project that's been going on from Field Street to State Street, and this coming spring, all those roads are going to be rebuilt and done. Yeah. I do want to give a shout-out on the grant. These things don't just happen, and support from our public officials, elected officials, is huge, but if you don't do the grunt work, the legwork, and grind the applications out and do all of the necessary follow-up, it doesn't happen. And Jimmy Scribby and that gang and my various departments, they worked very hard. This is a great example of why we created the federal and state grants department to chase this stuff every day. That's all they do. So they've more than paid for their salaries for a long time, and I'm grateful for their work as well.
Absolutely. Before we talk again, Mayor, it'll be Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and the city is having a big breakfast on Monday.
Yes, indeed. We changed it up a little bit, going to the Terrell Room up at the Elks. We have retired Boston Police Commissioner Willie Gross, who actually is a Quincy College grad, and I think he was an outstanding leader for the Boston Police Department through some very difficult times, for sure, as the nation dealt with it. And certainly Martin Luther King was a great American. I mean, he fought for civil rights, long overdue rights for every man and woman, no matter your color, your creed, your ethnicity. Yet he fought without physically fighting. He fought with words. And I think there's a lesson there for us as well. He was a deeply rooted Christian as a minister, and that's where his faith really was what founded him as far as his beliefs on public policy. And he did some great stuff. And so it's we should remember him. We should remember his ideals and continue to fight for those things without fists, using words.
Yeah, this will be a Monday morning at the Terrell Room, as you mentioned. It is free. It's open to the public.
Yes, we invite everyone to join us.
Absolutely. And also an early happy birthday to you, Mayor, later this month, because I won't talk to you before then, so hope you have a wonderful birthday.
Well, we don't count them anymore, Joe, you know, at that point, but thank you. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thanks again for your time.
All right, have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.